Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to Mark chapter 2, and we're going to do our best to continue this wonderful book, and we're going to expound verses 13 through 17, and allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness and grace, and we thank you for your mercy. And Lord, we're asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. I've entitled this evening's message, Jesus called sinners to repent. He called them to repent. And so we all know that as we read the Gospels, he didn't call the righteous, he didn't call the very well, he didn't call the rich, but he called the sinners to repent. And we're going to look at this scripture when we get to verse 17. But let's all read now verses 13 through 17. We're going to have the Holy Spirit have his way tonight. Amen. And it reads, then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and he followed him. Verse 15. Now it happened, as he was dining in Levi's house, that many tax collectors and sinners, did you catch that? Tax collectors and sinners sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. I wonder why they were following him. Look at verse 16. And when the scribes and the Pharisees, here comes the religious folks, saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, hey, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? It's like, how dare he? He's supposed to claim that he's supposed to be God. He's supposed to be holy. What's he doing sitting with those folks? Wow. And then in verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. How many believe that? You don't go to the doctor when you're feeling good. I think you go when you feel crummy, don't you? Huh? Or if something's out of order or something's about ready to collapse, you go see a doctor, right? He says right here, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Okay? And so let's go back to verse 13. It says, when he went out again by the sea and all the multitude came to him, he taught them. And one of the things that Jesus was not only a preacher, but he was a teacher. Can I get an amen? Amen. He was one of the greatest teachers. Jesus left Capernaum, and we all remember Capernaum. If you went on the trip, we shared Capernaum. It's one of the towns now, one of the three that still remains cursed by Jesus. It's an outdoor museum. There's no life in it other than rubble and things that they try to erect from the ground that they dug up. All the cities around it are still thriving, but not Capernaum. Why was Capernaum still an outdoor museum? Because during the time of Jesus, that whole town saw all the miracles, saw all the things that no one has ever seen before, and yet they remained, the majority of them remained in their unbelief. So he cursed it. So you go there today in Israel, it's just a museum. It's called the town of Jesus. And so a crowd of people gathered, and Jesus taught them. And while Jesus often spoke in synagogue or homes, he also taught groups of people on hillsides or on the shore of the sea and Galilee. The hillsides, sloping mountains. I don't know if we didn't get a chance on this last trip, but the many trips that I've taken there, we went on the Mount of Beatitudes. And we didn't get a chance to go on this trip. I believe on our next trip, we will go to the top of the Mount of Beatitudes. And the Bible says that he did a wonderful teaching there. Let's look at this in Matthew 5. It says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up on a mountain and he was seated. His disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. He taught them. What did he teach them? He taught them spiritual principles. Things that you and I, if we look in the natural, we can't figure it out. But when God illuminates and opens up your spiritual eyes and ears, you will understand what he was talking about. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You know what he was referring to? People that were spiritually bankrupt. You got to remember, these scribes and Pharisees and the law of the Old Testament was basically a whole bunch of rules and regs, and they couldn't meet that criteria. They couldn't come up to that level. But yet these scribes and Pharisees, they wore these religious robes, and they wore these religious garments, and they had all these religious acts. But yet Jesus says, you guys are a bunch of snakes and vipers. For inside of you are dead men's bones. And the people were held without any regard. The masses. And so, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Saints, the Beatitudes describe how Christ's followers should live. And this was his main teaching, was about the Beatitudes. Wherever he went, he always brought up these principles. Why? Because he wanted clearly to understand why he came and why he brought the message to the sinners and the tax collectors. Why? Because the religious folks, the people that were doing fine, the people that didn't want God, they felt that they were okay. It's almost like today. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. How many people have you shared the gospel with that are very self-righteous? And they don't want to hear anything you have to say. Why? Because everything's going well. But wait till they get a report from the doctor that they got maybe 6 months left. I bet they come knocking at your door. Hey, I remember you about Jesus. Can you tell me more? Yeah, and you're not going to point in their face and say, I told you so. You're going to be there graciously to lead them to Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. To be blessed means more than happiness. It means to be favored and approved by God. How many believe that you're favored and highly approved by God? Amen. There's two of you back there. Praise God. You believe that. According to worldly standards, the types of people whom Jesus described don't seem to be particularly blessed by God. But God's way of living usually contradicts the world's way. Can I get an amen? Jesus explained that God blesses those who realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is given to them. Only those who humbly depend on God are admitted into the kingdom of heaven. Not the pride and the ones that are arrogant, the ones that come in the spirit of humility. The final condemnation of all these rewards and of the kingdom itself, it lies in the future. Because when Jesus comes, hallelujah, he's going to set up his kingdom here on earth. How many can't wait for that to happen? However, saints, believers can already share in the kingdom as far as it has been revealed to you and I. Why? Because when he taught on the Beatitudes, he laid it all out, the principles of heaven. He was the master teacher. Can I get an amen? Look at what he says here. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Listen, before we came into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, I know I was mourning, but I didn't know what I was mourning. My life was miserable. How many believe that your life wasn't doing well before Christ came? I know I wasn't doing well. Whether Jesus' followers mourn for sin or in suffering, God's promise is sure that they will be comforted. You see, when God opens up your eyes and you see yourself as very sinful, it should bring you to a place of mourning. You should come to a place like, man, I am so wretched and I need God. I need God. But until you come to that place, or a person comes to that place, you're never going to see God. God is looking for those who God gives as a it's a spirit of grace and mercy. He's the one that allows us to come in a spirit of repentance to him. Can I get an amen? Amen. Oh, yes. God, only God can take away sorrow for sin. That's right. And only God can forgive and erase it. Aren't you so blessed that he erased your sin? There's some people, though, their sin will remain until he comes back and he's going to deal treacherously with them because they rejected him. Only God can give comfort to those who suffer for his sake. Why? Because they know the rewards in kingdom. We talked about last Sunday, huh, the rewards. How many can't wait for that reward? And it's not going to come from Office Depot for turning in some cartridges. This reward is going to be mind-blowing. I can't wait. Can I get an amen? And then he goes on and he teaches this. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Wow. The meek. You know, people misconstrued this word meek as weak. As born-again believers, we should walk in meekness, amen? But we're not walking in weakness. No, we're not. God has given us authority and power to tread on serpents. Can I get an amen? Our sister was, well, yeah, the attacks came, and you know what? But we have the authority to rebuke that in Jesus' name. Amen? Let him come. Let him come. And he comes to harass us. I know that. But, man, we got to stand in faith and bind that devil. Can I get an amen? Greater is he that's within us than he that's in the world. And when you walk around with the authority that Christ has given us, hallelujah, you'll be walking in victory. Can I get an amen? How many want to walk in victory? I do. I don't want to walk around, oh, woe is me. Oh, woe. Oh, come on. Jesus is about to return. Hallelujah. And he's looking for those who are looking for his return. Did you know that? People are going by with their day-to-day business as usual. But God is looking for those who are seeking him. They'll want to see him face to face. God blesses those who are gentle and lowly. Why? For the whole earth will belong to them. God's going to give us this place to reign with him. The Bible says we're going to rule and reign with him. We're co-heirs with Christ, the Bible says. Everything that Christ has been given to you and I. And so the words translated gentle and lowly convey humility and trust in God. Gentle and lowly people do not look down on themselves, but they do not think too highly of themselves either. Ironically, saints, it is not the arrogant and the wealthy people who get everything. God blesses us even in our humility. Can I get an amen? Amen. That's right. Just stay humble before God, and God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. Hallelujah. He does. How many can... without a shadow of a doubt, believe that he supplies all of your needs. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Not all of your greeds, all of your needs. Amen. He will meet all of your needs. And he may throw you a little kiss on the cheek when you want something that maybe you shouldn't have. He may say, man, you'll be like the in the parable about the woman that kept crying to the judge. The judge said, finally, man, hush up this woman here. Okay, there's none of you like that in here, right? No. But instead, the whole earth will belong to the gentle and to the meek. Jesus used the earth to refer to future inheritance of the kingdom. According to Revelation, throughout Revelation chapter 21 and through 22, believers will enjoy a new heaven and a new earth. And how many can't wait for that new heaven and new earth? Man, you know what you see now? It's going to be totally different. It'll be transformed. It's not going to be the same. It won't be business as usual. We're going to see a whole brand new society that he's going to set up. And guess what? We're part of that. I can't wait. Look at that. Then he went on to teach, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You know what blesses my heart? I'll tell you what blesses my heart. Every one of you that come out to be in his word, You know what? That's a sign that you're looking to seek for righteousness. You want God's word to fill your being so that he can bless you, so that he can give you wisdom. He can give you understanding. He can give you knowledge of God. Listen, when you start to learn who he is, you will be just like him. That's right. You'll be more like him every day. That's why God says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Filled with what? Joy. To be filled with his spirit. To be filled with his goodness, his grace, and his mercy. God blesses those who are hungry and thirsty for justice, for they will receive it in full. How many can't wait to receive everything that God has for them? The words hungry and thirsty picture intense longings that people desire to satisfy, necessities that they cannot live without. Those who have an intense longing for justice, righteousness, are blessed. So when your mind is focused on Christ and your things are focused on the things of God, man, God starts truly blessing your life. Oh, yeah, because you put God first. When you put him first, man, he goes right before you. Hallelujah. Always remember that. If Christ is before you, man, no one can come against you. And guess what? He even got your back. Hallelujah. Remember back in the day? Man, you got my back. You got my back. Come on, you remember the days. You were going to go knuckle down with someone. You got my back. And then when they came with about 10, they ran. This when the enemy comes, Jesus is not going to run. Can I get an amen? He be with you the whole fight. Can I get an amen? Man, I'm telling you, he'll stick closer than a brother, the Bible says. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. And so he blesses God. Listen, justice refers to total discipleship and complete obedience. It may also refer to justice for the entire world and the end to sin and an evil that will fill it in both cases. So God's going to eradicate evil. Aren't you? Man, that day's coming. There will be no more evil anywhere. There will be nothing on TV like that, nothing in society. There will be no more drive-bys. There will be no more killings. There will be none of that. Because he will rule and reign, hallelujah, with righteousness. Oh my gosh, that's a day that's coming. That's right. Let me ask this question. How many of you have close friends, family members, or maybe even co-workers, and you had to somehow, some way, had to show them at one time mercy? Or do you still hold in that grudge? Or you still haven't forgiven them? Well, Jesus taught, the greatest teacher, he taught this on the Mount of Beatitudes right up here. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You want mercy from God? You better have mercy on someone else too. Oh man, they said that about me. Uh-uh. Yeah, you know, oh, I forgave. Yeah, but you know what? You haven't forgotten. You ever heard that cliche? I forgive. But I still remember. That ain't forgiving. And that ain't showing mercy. Mercy is, you know what? I don't care what went down. I'm going to love you despite. And come on, I want to see you grow. You know why? Because when you forgive and you show mercy, guess what? Now all of a sudden, they can't hold nothing on you no more. So now you severed that clash. And now all they look at you is like, wow, like pouring hot coals on their head. They don't know how to deal with it. And so all of a sudden their heart starts to melt. And then they end up forgiving you too. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Man, pure in heart, you know what that means? That means walking. I know it's hard. But walking with unconditional love. That's so tough, isn't it? That's so tough. The other day, we were taking our little dog to the veterinary. And I have my phone right on this little, it's like a tiny little podium I put so I didn't have to be like this. I can just driving. I can just touch it if someone's calling me. Some car pull aside, man. He wanted to knuckle down because he says, "What are you doing touching?" I'm telling you, he was trailing me, man. He wanted to throw down. And he had his grandma in the front seat. I never seen anything like it. And you know, I'm telling you, man, you know, the hair on the back of my neck rose up. And she had to remind me, "Honey, you're a pastor now." "Yes, dear." And the guy was just cursing me. I don't know what kind of day he was having. But it sure, man, any one of you, if he would have done that, you would have said, "Man, what's wrong with this guy?" And now I know what road rage is. You ever experienced people with road rage? It seems like our society, they're ready to just flip out. Eat each other up and spit each other out. It's, oh my gosh. But God blesses those with hearts that are pure. Why? Because the Bible says they will see God. People characterized as pure in heart are morally pure. Meaning they'll say no to sexual sin. They'll say no to drugs and alcohol and those things that will alter your natural state of mind. That's what drugs and alcohol does. It alters your normal state. And you are allowing other spirits to come in and to change you. Why do you think people that are drunk or high as a kite, that's not really them? They've opened up their mind, and not only is it a physical manifestation, but spirits get right in there too. That's why in Europe, the bars and clubs, all on their bars, spirits, they understand. Because you know what? A whole new spirit comes in. That ain't you no more. And because of sincere devotion to Christ, they will see God here and now through the eyes of faith. Aren't you so blessed? That because God has washed you and cleansed you and he has saved you, now you have the eyes of faith to see the word of God and to apply the word and to walk in his grace and to walk in that mercy. Is it perfect? No. Our life here will never be perfect until he comes. The perfect one comes and changes us into a perfect being. Can I get amen? But until then, we strive for perfection. We lay aside those weights and sins so easily beset us. And we press toward the prize and the call. And when you press, oh my gosh. And so the guy that was next to me, who rolled up to me, he wasn't operating right here. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." He wasn't a peacemaker. Man, he wanted to bite off my ear and chew it. He had so much anger in him. Ask you a lot. He had anger in his heart. He wasn't a peacemaker. See, God blesses those who really strive for peace. For they will... The Bible says, for they will be called the children of God. God calls his children to be peacemakers. This involves action, not just passive compliance. Peacemakers actively work for peace to cause reconciliation and to end bitterness and strife. Can I get an amen? Saints, this peace is not appeasement, but dealing with and solving problems to maintain peace. If that's the Lord, I'm almost done with the Bible study. Arrogant, selfish people do not concern themselves with peacemaking. Why? Because peacemakers will be called the children of God because they reflect their Father's character. How many want God to look down and says, "You know what? I see you really striving to have the character of God." Amen. You know, and it's real simple. You know what? You know how you do it? You take one day at a time. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. You have one day at a time that God gives us. So when you wake up in the morning, just say, "Lord, thank you for this new day. God, I just want to honor you this day. Watch my mouth. watch my actions. Lord, help me with my heart. Help my eyes be on you, God. And Lord, when temptation comes, give me the power to tread over it. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's very simple, but you got to just ask him to be with you, to empower you. That's what God is looking for. And when you yield to him, that's when he comes in, and man, he sets up, man, a strong tower. And a belt of righteousness he places over you. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. Hallelujah. Now, I don't know if it was persecution. No, I don't think so, because he didn't know what my business was. But there are many in the Middle East that are being persecuted. And Jesus taught this principle. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God blesses those who are persecuted. Why? Because they live for God. Are you living for God? Can I get an amen? Amen. Listen, you wouldn't be here if you didn't desire God. You guys are here because you love God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm not just preaching to the pews here. You're here because you love God. And I'm blessed that you're here tonight. Because you're not here for me. You're not here for Amazing Grace. You're here for the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? And I get to be a part of it. Praise God. I'm just tagging along. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so, persecution should not surprise Christians. People who put others before themselves will seldom receive applause and honors. Often they will be persecuted instead. Because they live for God, they stand out from the world and become marks for the enemy's attacks. My sister got attacked. She was singing her heart to the Lord. And for some of you that didn't understand what she was saying, neither did I. But one word that was real plain, she kept saying Yeshua, Yeshua, and Adonai. So that's Lord and that's Jesus. Amen. So she was singing unto God. The rest of the stuff, praise the Lord. God bless you. Hallelujah. She has a beautiful voice, and we thank and praise God for you, Ella. You're awesome. And we're so blessed that you're here tonight. And so the world is under Satan's control until Jesus comes and takes it back. Amen? And believers belong to the opposing army. The reward for these believers will be the kingdom of heaven. Right up here. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God will make up for the suffering that his children have undergone because of their loyalty to him. That's all God is looking for. He's not looking for a perfect life, because we'll never live a perfect life down here. He's looking, though, for loyalty. There's a difference. You know how you can be loyal to someone? Especially those who are married, or maybe are about to get married. It's about loyalty to your spouse. Can I get amen? For 22 years, we've been loyal to one another by the grace of God. Some of you have been married a little longer, and that's the grace of God. Why? Because you're loyal. Well, God is looking for loyalty with him. Hallelujah. And watch God do the miraculous in your life. Now, blessed, he goes on right here. He teaches, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. For what? For my name's sake. My goodness. God blesses you when you are mocked and persecuted and lied about because you are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was telling his disciples that they shouldn't be surprised when people mock them and persecute them. And lie about them. Has that ever happened to you as being a child of God? It has for me. Oh, yes. It has. Later, he explained to his followers that they should expect nothing different. Nothing different. Because he goes on to say right here, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So if they persecuted the prophets, guess what? They will persecute you no different. I want to condense this story real quickly, but when I got into the real estate business, there were 17 agents in the office, and we all had an hour's time for the radio. So some people put on rock and roll, some people put on country and western, some people put on news. When it was my turn, I put on K-Praise, the Word of God. The whole office hated that. They came and they complained to our broker, Archer Sagman. Get this. We can't listen to this. And he would tell them, I'm sorry, that's his hour. Well, we won't work for you no more. Well, I can't fire him. He's our top sales guy. I was selling about 5 to 6 homes a month, and some of them were in there just freeloading, just a place to come. And they were complaining. And then one day, God set up, man, I'm telling you, he set up the perfect scenario. Now, check this out. Here I am. I'm in that office with 17 other agents, and one of my deals went bad. It went south. I got called by my broker, and the loan officer was in there and said, Fee, I'm sorry, but you know what? This deal's going to crash because your client, she didn't disclose that she was going through a divorce, and she was an E5 in the military, and she can't buy a house unless that divorce is done because state of California, that's the rules. So, man, the whole office knew that my deal was dead. And here I'm sitting in, I was sitting in my office, man, and I was still believing God. I had a little hope, but I was still believing God. And so finally I got up and I went to the back and I started praying in the Holy Ghost. I said, oh Lord Jesus, you said you would supply all of my needs. I needed that deal to close. I needed my car payment at that time, my place to rent, all these things, and I needed that to close. And there was this one woman, her name was Shoshana. She hated my guts. She would, yeah, man. She was an old Jewish woman, not born again. And she hated to see my Bible on my desk. And she would walk by and she saw me praying. And she would walk by mocking me. And then she would walk by again, and she would go to the front. He's praying back there. And I could hear them all just, you know. And when I got up and went back into the main room, it was like silent. And I sat down, opened up my Bible, and they were all like doing one of them. Then the front door opened. Lady walked in. Sharon Ryan came in and started passing out her cards. It was a brand new title company coming from Orange. It was called Benefit Land Title, coming from Orange County. They wanted to open up a San Diego branch. Now, what happened was every title company in the county all said, no, we cannot insure this title because it would be a liability. They all said no. So that's why I knew that this was like done. And they all were, you know, laughing at the Christian in the office. So this lady walks in, leaving all her cards. And man, this wasn't in the phone book. And she was walking out. I said, hey, Sharon, hey man, you got a moment? And so I explained my story. She goes, okay, I got to call our legal team. I go, oh, I said to myself, oh, here we go again. Because all the title companies had to go to their legal team, and they were all calling back one at a time. Sorry, 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 we can't do this. So she's on the phone right there in the front office, and they were all laughing. It's going to be the same answer. I was sitting in my desk like this. And just, Lord, I know you're going to do something, Lord. She hung up the phone. She came up to me. She put her hand on my shoulder. She goes, Fee, right? She saw my name plaque on my desk. She goes, when do you want to close? I said, what? She goes, yeah, my legal team said, we'll insure that title. I sprung out of my chair. And God is my witness. With a loud voice, I said, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. That lady, man, I'm telling you, Shoshana, she got up, she went outside, she must have smoked two packs of cigarettes. And then we didn't see her for another 2 weeks. And two agents saw that. And they came that same week. I took them to North Park Apostolic Church. They all got baptized and got saved. And now we had 3 hours of the Word of God in there. And they were all hating it. I had to share that. Why? Because if you're living for God, you will be persecuted for no good reason. Man, aren't you so blessed to be a child of God? I'll never forget that moment. We closed escrow. My bills were paid. Hallelujah. God is good, I'm telling you. He's good. You know what? He may not be there when you call upon him, but he's always right on time. He's a right on time God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Woo, we serve a mighty God. Man, where's my place at again? So let's go back now to Mark chapter 2 and verse 14. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting in the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. And so if you could give me just a few more minutes, I'll finish up this study. Can I get an amen? And so the tax collection booth was an elevated platform or bench. Everyone knew who Levi was. And anyone passing through the city who had to pay taxes could find him easily. During this day, they were worse than the IRS. You know why? These tax collectors not only took the taxes from the people, but they took some for themselves too. That's why the scribes and Pharisees said, "Why are you sitting with tax collectors and sinners?" Because they clumped them up all the same. These guys were basically robbers. But they had the authority of the Sanhedrin to collect those taxes. Because they were basically used by them to go collect the money so that you could bring it to the temple. So they clumped the tax collectors with the sinners. And that's who Jesus sat down with. And they hated that they started to persecute the Lord. Levi's radical obedience is amazing for the change it would affect in his life. You know why? Because Jesus walked up to him, knew who he was. And Jesus said, "Follow me." Man, he dropped hat. And started following Jesus. No differently than the apostles that we read earlier in the book of Mark. The fishermen. Listen. When Jesus spoke to us, hallelujah, he gave us ears to hear and eyes to see. And when he spoke to you and I, we got up. And we started following him. Like that. Because only he can speak to our soul. Only he can speak to us that are dead in transgressions and sins. Until the Lord of glory speaks to a person that's dead, they're not going anywhere. But when he speaks to your spirit, you come alive unto him. So when he spoke to them, come on. They didn't look at him like, "Who do you think you are? I ain't going to follow you, man. I'm making all this money." He spoke to their soul. He let them see that they needed God. Look at verse 15. Now it happened as he was dining in Levi's house that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed. Man, there was many, many of them. Saints, Levi responded as Jesus would want all of his followers to do. He followed his Lord immediately, and he called his friends together to meet him too. He held a dinner for his tax collector friends and many other notorious sinners, so that they can meet Jesus. You know what he saw? He said, "This is someone that can help these folks." How many people in Pelican Bay has God saved in the midst of their sin? You know, Pelican Bay is the last place to go. It's the hellhole on earth. And yet there's people God is saving behind those prison bars. You know why? Because God is not a respecter of person. He doesn't look at our ideology. Oh, man, he's not going to go in there and save them. He's saving them left and right. Why? Because we were no different. You may not have murdered anyone or robbed a bank, but you thought about it at one time or another. Can I get amen? And just by thinking about it, you did the same thing as if you did it. My, my, my. It's no different. No different. We serve a mighty God, don't we? We serve a mighty, mighty God. And so the Pharisees regarded these people as wicked and opposed to the will of God because they did not observe the rituals for purity, which enabled them to eat with others. Jesus was considered the Son of God, the Holy One of Israel. But he sat with all these tax collectors and sinners. Well, guess what? None of us held these high allocates no differently, and yet God came to visit us, didn't he? He went through the highways and byways. For some of us, we were living in the hood, and he came to the hoods. Oh, yes, he did. Jesus came looking for us. And he said, follow me. Come on, ask yourself where you were before you came into the saving knowledge. I was trying to get away from a Dominican drug dealer. He would front me just pounds of crystal meth. I was so addicted to it. And yet Jesus said, come and follow me, man, and he delivered me immediately, if not sooner. And he has delivered you. This is the God we serve. He's a real God. Jesus is the real deal. Can I get an amen? We don't worship no false God. We worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And so these people gathered at Levi's house where they knew they had a welcome. And they too sat with Jesus and his disciples at dinner and listened to the message his marvelous teacher had for them. You know what blesses my heart? Those of you that go feed the poor, that go give to the orphanages in Tijuana or downtown. You know what? Jesus loves those that are so downtrodden and without. And when you could go give them a sandwich, a pair of shoes, put a shirt on their back. Hallelujah. I've heard stories when they go down to the orphanage in Tijuana. Those kids don't even have shoes. You know what their socks are? Dirt. That's their socks, is dirt. And yet when you go by and you bless them, they know you're coming. Man, it's like a brand new day for them. Their heart rejoices. God is good. How many believe God is good? Look at verse 8. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? How? Many of these teachers of religious law were also Pharisees, a strict religious group of Jews who also advocated minute obedience to the Jewish laws and traditions. Their job was to teach the scriptures and the law and to protect them against anyone's willful defiance. Okay, we get that. They saw themselves as righteous and everyone else as sinners. When Jesus sat down to a meal with these considered scum people, the Pharisees were quite surprised. Here was a man who seemed to have the entire law at his fingertips. Jesus was the Word. Can I get amen? Who taught with great authority, yet who stooped to the level of the poor, unlearned, uncommon people that are called sinners and outcasts. Thus the Pharisees pulled his disciples aside and asked, hey, Jesus, what's your purpose with them? And how many know that Jesus knows our heart? Huh? How many believe that he has X-ray vision? And he knows the agenda. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, all these people that walked in these times, they were the only people that Jesus flat out rebuked and called them vipers and snakes. He didn't call the common people. He didn't call the sinners that. He rebuked the demons that were in people. We read that in these last few weeks. But he didn't bind them and he didn't rebuke them personally. I need you to get this understanding. This is how Jesus looks at religious people. The ones that walk around like this. Oh, yeah. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. This is Jesus. Your Bible should have red writing too. Can I get amen? He says, blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. They were so corrupt on the inside. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. That's why they hated Jesus, because he sat with common people like you and I. He wasn't sitting with the elite. He wasn't sitting with the billionaires and the millionaires. He was sitting to the outcast, the downtrodden, the people that needed God. That's who Jesus sat with. But look how he took care of these religious folks. And you know what? Nothing's changed in 2,000 years. There are still religious folks today. Look at this. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous. And say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourselves that you are the sons of who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Wow! Jesus said, they are being sent to hell. Because these folks that he was talking to, they would not believe who he was and they would not repent. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And so we close out with this verse in verse 17 in Matthew chapter 2. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. How many are so blessed to know that Jesus came for you and I? He came for us. You know why? Because we didn't know anything about this book before we got saved. Maybe we went to a Catholic school, or maybe we went to a Sunday school as children, but we didn't know anything about God until he filled us with his spirit and we became born again and he gave us ears to hear and eyes to see. We finally saw who we were. We were so wretched that we needed a Savior. And so, what the world doesn't understand, and we close with this verse, what the world doesn't understand, the world that we live in today, is that they look at Jesus as some kind of religious fanatic. You know, even in the political world, you got the right and you got the left. And the left right now, politically, they hate anything that the Word of God stands for. They're enemies to the cross. They're enemies to the cross. They are. And they're so deep left. Man, I'm telling you, they're for abortion. They're for gay marriages. They're for all kinds of people to come into our country to... And let me ask you this, for those of you that don't want no wall, why don't you go to bed tonight without locking your door? If you can lock your door and unlock your door and just leave it unlocked, that means you don't care. You know what? You trust. You know what? Well, there's doors that we need to lock so that wicked people don't come in here. Can I get an amen? Oh, no. No. These are facts. These are flat out facts. So when you go to bed tonight, some of you are going to clack, clack, clack. And then before you go to bed, you put on the alarm. Ding, 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 ding. Right? Or do you just leave everything open? I'm just making common sense of this. That's all. I'm just making common sense. Those who are well have no need. But look, the world today don't believe that God has already condemned this world. Jesus came to save and seek those who were lost. Did you know that the world's already condemned? If you don't know that, and you haven't told an unbeliever that, listen, you need to get right with God because the world's already condemned. What are you talking about, Pastor Fee? God's a God of love. Well, let's look what the Word says. I'm glad I'm just the mailman delivering the mail. Hallelujah. Don't throw tomatoes. Some of you are ready to pull out tomatoes and start throwing at this preacher. Let's look what the Word says. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Did you catch that? So in other words, those who don't have nothing to do with Christ is condemned already. That's what Jesus said. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So that backs it up right there. Can I get an amen? And I'm glad Jesus wrote it. Does your Bible have red in it too? Or does it got purple? Oh, it's red, huh? This world we live in is already condemned. Jesus came. Just look at Jesus as this. If all of us, let's just say all of us in this room, we went deep sea fishing, and no one told us a storm was coming. And so now it's rocking like this. Woo! Oh, man, we're holding on. And then the boat topsizes. And now we're all grabbing on to whatever life rings that are left. And here comes the sharks. And one by one, the sharks are eating somebody in front of you. And let's just say you are the last one that hasn't been eaten yet. Everyone is eaten up by sharks. And the only reason why they haven't eaten you yet is because they're still full from everyone else. They're just holding off, and then they'll get to you. And then here comes a boat, and they throw a life ring. How many of you would grab that life ring? Okay, one person rolled through. Oh, my gosh. So you guys would just, the rest of you would just perish, right? No, I think you would have enough sense to grab onto that life ring. Can I get an amen? Because that's your only hope now, that life ring, that a boat came by and saw you were left and everyone else with bits and pieces just floating around. You grab onto that. Well, that's who Jesus is. He's the life ring. He came to this world to throw the life ring. Grab on, because I want to save you. And yet, how many people have you spoken the gospel to, and they have deaf ears? Well, that's good for you. You need it, God. Good for you. Oh, no, you never got that one, did you? I used to get that all the time. I shared that story, and that they all mocked me. They hated my guts. I'm still that loudmouth preacher from way back when. God hasn't taken away that loudmouth. Can I get an amen? And I'd rather have a loudmouth for Him. Can I get an amen? We're so blessed to know that Jesus is for us, not against us. Can I get an amen? Let's pray. Oh, wait a minute. I had more. Look at, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. This is why they won't come. This is why they reject Jesus. They'd rather live in the dark with evil and wickedness. They won't come to the light. That's what Jesus said. He said, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Aren't you so blessed? Huh? Aren't you so blessed to know that Jesus called us into his marvelous light out of darkness? And now we're walking in the marvelous light, the light of the glory of God that's shining bright inside of us. That's what God wanted from the very beginning, and he's doing a mighty work in your life. He's doing a mighty work in my life. And we give him praise, glory, and honor. Can we get an amen in the house? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your loving kindness, oh God. And Lord, I'm praying for those who are listening to this message. Maybe they stumbled onto this website. Maybe someone said, hey, you need to hear this message. And if that's you, God is doing something in your heart right now. Believe that God has given you a mind to be saved and a heart of repentance, and that he has the best plan in store for you. If that's you right now, pray this simple prayer of faith. Now, the prayer don't save you. It's your faith in Jesus Christ that saves you. Prayer is just a tool that God gives to mankind on earth, who's very sinful, to communicate with the holy God that's in heaven. And if that's you, we want to pray this prayer with you to help prod you along, and that you would be encouraged to turn to Jesus tonight and watch God do the miraculous in your life. So pray this prayer. We'll all pray with you. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory in the house.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you, and thank you for listening.